Hello and welcome to another episode of Making It in Movie Making with me, Richard Fish, and today's guest, Colin Taylor.
Hello.
Colin, so you're a filmmaker. Do you want to tell me a bit about how you came to make films and what you're currently doing?
Yes. So I guess back in high school, I was always interested in movies and films, and I had a knack for it, and I'd get my buddies together and we would make our own little short home movies. And then I was like, I want to keep doing this. So I went to school. I went to Buffalo State College in the television and film arts program to learn more about it and kind of like, you know, grow in my filmmaking skills. And then I just kept doing it, kept loving it. And I kind of learned that I loved writing and directing and acting more than anything else. Because when I started, I was doing a lot of editing. That's what I thought I loved editing, which I do. I do love it still. But I found a knack for writing and directing. And I made a bunch of short films in school. And then most recently, I just got done with my first feature film. It's called Chicken Strips, The Trials and Tribulations of Becoming a Garage Band. It's premiering in a couple months now. Super excited. Yeah, it's kind of crazy how we're here already, like at my first feature film.
So how long is it since you finished college? Like, how far out are you?
I graduated this past December, so I'm not too far out. I'm only about 7 months now out of college.
So how did the making a feature come about? Was that part of school, or was that as well as doing whatever a final film would be?
No, so back in February of 2020, while I was still in school, I knew I wanted to make a feature. I didn't do it for school. It wasn't like a class project or assignment or anything. I did it while I filmed it while I was still in school, just over the summers, over break. But it wasn't for any class project or anything. It was just something that I really wanted to do for myself, and also to prove to other people that it's possible.
So how did you make it possible? Like, what kind of budget did you need? What people did you need? What locations did you need? How did you get the band together?
Literally, how did I get the band together?
That's about a band.
Yeah. So first thing you need is a script. And if I knew I was going to be filming this thing, I had to make sure that the script was filmable and producible. So everything that I was writing, I kind of made sure, like, okay, I have a location for this. Okay, I have people in mind for this. I have people for this. But as far as like getting the cast and crew together, we just sent out casting calls and crew calls to a bunch of different schools and a bunch of different Facebook pages. And I knew that we'd get a lot of eagerness out of people who are either fresh out of college or still in college, because they're still pretty green and they want to get their foot in the door, so they'd be willing to do anything because we couldn't pay them, which was really nice. It really helped out a lot, the dedication that these people had. As far as money, we raised the Indiegogo campaign, where we raised a little over $7,000, and then me and my writing partner Louie kind of chipped in a little bit of our own money, and we ended up getting a total of around $10,000. So it's like super micro budget, because that's like very low for like a feature film. Usually like an indie film's like at least $1 million, and we did not have that.
So if your people are not getting paid, like, what are the things that you absolutely had to pay for that you couldn't avoid needing the money for?
Yes. So food is the biggest thing. I think we spent a lot of, because like we got to feed 15 people over the course of 16 days of filming. So food was a big expense. Same with locations. There were some locations that we had to rent out, whether it be like the big festival scene in the movie, or it was a movie theater scene in the movie. We had to pay the places to film there, as well as equipment, sound equipment we had to rent out, as well as a couple of like lighting equipment as well. So that's where the majority of the money went. And then also on top of that, props and wardrobe and anything else that we needed for the film.
And now you're getting it shown at a local cinema. So like, how did you get that relationship going? Like, how did you actually get them to screen the thing?
Yeah, so I didn't know them personally, but when I was back in school, all of our so in the TFA program, you're kind of like all your classes kind of culminate towards the making a pilot. And when we made my class made our pilot, we were able to premiere it at the North Park Theater, which is where we're having our premiere. So I kind of like had a little bit of an in of sort of, hey, I've kind of had something premiere here once before. So we just kind of reached out to them and we just told them, we showed them the trailer. We showed them that we actually had a film to show there. And then you just kind of have to negotiate a time and a price with them as well. Of what time, it really just whatever time works for them, because I think we wanted more of a summer release, like kind of around now or like a couple weeks from now, but we ended up getting a September release, which is fine. But it's one of those things where it's just whenever the theater is free that we are able to show it there.
And do you already know like how long it'll play for, or could it stay longer if they're like getting enough bums on seats?
So it's only playing for a week. I don't know if we can have it stay longer. But if we like sell out every single show, maybe they'll give us another couple days.
Or to just like keep buying tickets. Like I have a ticket, so you know, I've done my bit. Like
perfect. I appreciate that.
But no, I mean it's fun because like you say, a lot of people they do their program and then I guess they go looking for jobs. Whereas I suppose you've kind of made your own job. So like,
yeah.
With this being your script, I mean, was it like your idea? And then how did you get a co-writer involved?
Yeah. So this was originally my idea. I've had this idea kind of in my back pocket for years, for like a long time. But then when it came time for my class to do their pilot, I was like, all right, I have this idea. Let me pitch it as the TV pilot. Because that's what I have. Everyone had to come up with a pitch and that was mine. And it didn't get picked, thankfully. So in February of 2020, I was like, you know, I really like the idea, or let me tweak the idea a little bit to kind of make it, instead of a TV show, make it more of like a feature film. And I just kept liking it. I kind of threw a little bit of like my own experience into it. And I was like really feeling attached to the script. And then COVID happened, lockdown. I was stuck in my room all day and I was like, this is a perfect opportunity for me to really crank out the script. I had everything outlined as far as like the story beats were had to go, but then I was just kind of getting stuck on like how every scene should go specifically. And I was about 20 pages or so into the script. And I had my buddy Louis, who I've known since high school, Louis Vizone. I just had him over and I just was like showing him some scenes, kind of bouncing ideas off of him, and he was contributing a lot and seemed excited about it enough. And then he just ended up becoming my writing partner on this. And he really brought a lot to the table. It really would not be the same film without him.
And did you kind of imagine it as a film even when you were pitching it as a TV pilot?
No, originally, no. I mean, like, I wasn't thinking about it too much when I pitched it as a TV pilot. It was just, I have to do this for class. This is the idea I have. And I just kind of came up with something really quick. I always had the name Chicken Strips, just a band called Chicken Strips was like the very first inkling of an idea. And then I kind of just threw in, I was like, let me just put a couple random characters in here and then just call it a pilot. And they not put too much thought into it. So I'm really glad it did not get picked because then I actually sat down and thought about what it should be about. I think it really works so much better how it is now.
Did you say this was like based on some experience as well? Like, were you in a band?
I was not in a band. I was in a fake band called Chicken Strips.
Oh, so there was a real Chicken Strips band. Okay. So this is based on a true story.
A little bit. Yeah, me and my buddy back in high school, we both played instruments and we just would go in his basement and then play songs sometimes. And then we just called ourselves Chicken Strips because we thought it was funny. And I just thought I the idea, because I'm a film guy, of a band called Chicken Strips stuck in my head. And that's kind of the in the script, this is a band that's never played a live show in 6 years of being a band. So they're kind of a fake band, and they don't even have a name for the at the beginning of the movie. They find the name Chicken Strips eventually. So yeah, there's a couple elements in here that were I took real stories and real arguments with some of my friends, and I was like, oh, that'll give it a good dramatic flair if I were to put this argument I had and kind of like expand it a little bit into the film.
So I'll put this out before your film premiere. So like, what do you want to say now to like pitch it, to like get people who have no connection to you to go and watch this movie? Like why should we go and watch it, just to put you on the spot?
Are you a young person who loves films and loves Scott Pilgrim versus the World and Hot Rod? Then you'll love our movie. It's about a fake band. It's about best friends, Kyle, Steven, and Ruben, who are forced to play in a music festival. But when conflicting priorities and visitors from the boys' past push their friendship to the breaking point, they must rekindle their friendship and play at a festival. It's kind of what it's about. A couple other stuff happens. Richard's in the movie for
I'm in the movie for two words.
Two words.
I did a lot of research into the character, and I was like, yeah, how can I do this? I was totally missold. Like, I don't know if he did this to everyone. Basically, Colin's like, yeah, or was it Louis? One of them was like, yeah, you're gonna be like Alfred to Batman. I'm like, that sounds amazing. And I get up and I got two words. But you know, they're two really important words, and I feel like you really get like a deep sense of character from it's fun. It's fun. I'm looking forward to it, and not just because I'm in it, but because I've met half the people who are in it. Which I guess is another question. Like, how many of the people who were either crew or cast did you already know?
So I knew Louis, my writing partner, going into it. I knew Lex, our director of photography. She shot the film. I knew our first assistant director, our second assistant director. And not that many others. It was really like a lot of new people. Like, most of the cast were people I did not know. I knew... the girl that plays, so I'm in the movie as well. I played the lead, Kyle, and his love interest, Ashley. I knew her. I've known her for like 6-7 years now, so it was kind of easy.
Who's that person?
Her name is Kylie. Okay. Yeah, she wasn't there on the day you were there.
I mean, maybe I've like heard of people through like the multiverse or whatever, you know, like,
yeah,
this person linked to this person linked to this person.
Yeah. But
also, I just want you to shout people out, you know, so they can be like,
oh. Yeah, but we put a lot of those casting calls to a bunch of different schools, and we got a lot of great auditions that came in.
So did your casting calls all go to the universities? There was none of this like Facebook pages and whatever else platforms rather.
We did some Facebook pages, like the there's like those couple Buffalo like film extras and Western New York Actors Helping Actors pages that we threw it on. We didn't really get much feedback from them. Most of the feedback we got was from different colleges. Like Fredonia had a good amount of people. Niagara, we had a decent amount of people. A couple from UB. But I mean, we thought it'd be really smart to kind of reach out to these people that really never had a chance at something like this yet. It's people that would be eager and be able to show off their amazing talent. And we really found that. I know our cast is incredible, and this is a lot of people's like first time being in a movie, and you wouldn't be able to tell because of how great they are. And I'm really glad to be able to give them their kind of first opportunity to be on the screen.
So how did you advertise in the universities? Did you like contact people who work there or like theater departments? Or like, what was the...
Yeah, so we would reach out to the theater departments and the media departments and just kind of let them know who we were. Hey, we're also students, or I was a student. I think Louis was graduated by the time we were reaching out. We're kind of looking, where we have our own feature film. We're looking for a cast and crew. We think this would be a great opportunity for your students. Okay, did get their foot in the door. Sometimes some schools were like, no, I'm not going to post this. Most of the time, really? It was.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll post it, like we'll share it around. Funny enough, someone that was on our camera team, his name's Cole Sackle, he saw the email for chicken strips, and he was just thought it was another spam stupid thing and deleted it. And then after like a couple days, he gave it some thought. It was like, let me go back and look at that. And then he ended up sending in an application, and we hired him. But he deleted it at first.
He's someone I've bumped into a lot. Like, he seems to be like doing a lot locally.
Yeah, he's been working a lot lately, and I don't want to take all the credit, but if he didn't work on our film, he wouldn't have met some people that would have gotten him jobs, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting for my two lines to perf. I can't remember how I got involved, like you or Camden or maybe even Louis, like, sent me a text message, I think. I've got no idea. I can't remember.
Like, yeah, your role is a funny one because it was not in the original script at all. It was after we started filming. We just, the character of Jared in the film is just kind of like this super rich douchebag character. And then we were just looking at the house set that we had for him. We were like, it'd be really funny if we just placed a lot of like swords everywhere. And like, oh, what if he's secretly a vigilante? And then we're like, oh, what if he's just Batman? Like, that's like, it's just a super subtext thing. And then we were thinking, oh, well, if he's Batman, he needs an Alfred. Who's a British guy we know? Richard Fish.
I see, like, I'm hoping that this is how all my castings go. They'd be like, we need a British guy. I'm like, in me.
Richard. Yep.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Yeah, hopefully. Oh, dear. So, like, I don't know. There's things you've said that I want to ask you about. I'm just trying to find a coherent order to do it. So far as North Park Theatre, like, how does that work financially? Like, do they get the money? Do you get the money? Do you pay to rent it? Then you get the money. Like, what's the arrangement, if you don't mind me asking?
So there's two ways to go about it. You can either just pay for the theater and you keep 100% of the ticket revenue, or you can have no upfront payments and split the ticket revenue 60-40. And that's what we did.
Who gets
because
the
60? That is a much safer option.
Who gets the 60?
They get the 60. We get the 40. I mean, it's fine. If
but
we sell enough, it's not a big deal.
It is safer, and it still gives both parties the incentive to sell tickets, because I feel like if you just rent at the venue, then they don't have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, whereas it's in their interest to sell tickets now. So I guess you're right.
Yeah, and I it's one of those things too of we kind of know that not too many people are gonna go, especially when it has 13 showings over the course of a week. We know that the majority of the people are going to go on the premiere,
right,
rather than a Tuesday evening.
I mean, I do like going on Tuesday evenings, but it's the thing. It's like, well, all the people are going to be there, so I'll go, you know.
Yeah, that's like our big red carpet, you know, and we got the photographer and all that. And
oh, wait, everyone's dressing up. Do I have to get like dressed up? Ugh.
Probably, yeah. I mean, red carpet, no. You know.
Oh, I should come as Batman. I don't know. I could not sit in that sweaty costume for all that time, I don't think.
Everyone will just be looking at you. Who is this?
Especially if I like disguise my voice enough. Like, yeah.
Can you do an American accent?
I could do like a Batman voice, because I feel like that's enough of its own thing that it doesn't even have to be like a great American accent, you know? Like,
yeah, it just has to be some gravel in your throat.
Yeah.
And then you got it.
Yeah, it'd be fine. I could use like a voice changer, like the Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've asked loads of people about that I just don't get, mostly because I just am terrible at asking for money, is how does the Indiegogo work? How do you make people actually give you money on those things?
So, yeah. So it's really pushing it to your family.
But what if like me, like all your family's dirt poor? Like, you then, like, is that it? Or
Yeah, I mean, we had a really good campaign video. It was really precise and funny. It got to the point. So if we were, we shared it every day, and we like put it everywhere so everyone was able to see it. And then it really helps being in that film program I was in, because everyone that was either an alumni or in the program wants to support this kind of stuff. So I would send that out and they would give whatever they could. It was usually around like $5 to $10, but everything helped. Family and friends are the big one. We would tell our entire cast and crew, show this to your family. They will donate. Even if it's $1, they will donate. And those are the people that for sure will. So those are the people that you really need to push it to. but it's very difficult to get like random strangers to donate. It's not really often that they will. I think we had a couple. There were a couple people I didn't recognize on the donation list, and I'm really thankful for them. But yeah, for something like this, especially like super small, super indie, you got to push to the people that you know. And it helps knowing a lot of people, because we had a lot of people in our cast and crew that could spread their like you speak to a lot of other people that I don't know and kind of expand our circle a little bit more.
That makes sense. And so after you've had your like week of fame, are you going to go to like every screening? Like, I feel like I wouldn't be able to resist. I'd just be like living in the theater for a week.
I'll be at every screening, and I'm going to get sick of my movie really quick.
Nice. So like, what's next for it? Are you going to like enter festivals, or are you doing like a streaming DVD stuff? Like, what's the plan?
So we've entered in a couple festivals. We haven't heard back from any yet, which is not surprising. They have all the notification dates. It's not until next month where we start hearing back from places. Right. But just see, yeah, we're going to try to do a festival run and then see what we get into. And then after that, it's probably go to streaming and try to find a distributor. But for now, we have our premiere that we're kind of pushing right now. We're just kind of waiting to hear from festivals. And then, either be able to sell the script and get it remade. That's the best case scenario. Or put it on streaming with a distributor.
Now, that's an avenue I've not heard anyone speak about before. So, like, how would you go about selling the script?
So, if someone likes the script well enough, they will want to buy it and remake it, because we already have our version of the film, but so they wouldn't necessarily want our version. If they like the script enough, they'd want to remake it. Now, this isn't going to a distributor, this is going to like a production company.
Would you like show them that you have a version of the film as part of the like sales pitch, or would you just kind of
because you get to show them a finished version of it, like a clear, this is what it would look like relatively if this version of the script was never made. It would look like this. And they give them like a much clearer idea and a much clearer vision of the film. I think it really benefits having a final product, especially if we were trying to sell it. It shows whoever we're selling it to that it's possible to make on a super low budget, and it's good. It translates to the screen. It's not just funny on the page, it's funny on the screen.
And like, what I'm looking forward to is seeing like more and more I appreciate what actors bring. And so I've read this script, but I want to see like how the interpretation of some of the people who I know, or at least who I know a little bit, who I've met, like what they do with the lines as written, because that things can change. And I think it's gonna be fun to like see that.
Yeah, I notice it more and more. It's something that I had a hard time learning in school. I wrote these scripts in a very particular way, and I'm like, all right, this character needs to be this way, or else it's not my vision.
Right.
And then an actor will read it and have a completely different idea than you, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're doing their job. They're bringing their own thing to this material that you never would have thought of, and it's sometimes for the better. I mean, sometimes it's not, but for our film, as an example, it was for the better. I know specifically the character of Steven, who was played by Jamie Rosner, is not what I thought, but he really brought a certain charm and certain likability to the character that I did not think in the when I was writing the character.
Sounds like a plus.
Yeah.
Just to go back a little bit to what you were saying, is like, so this selling the script, like how are you getting to the people that you can tell it to? Like, what's the plan there?
It's knowing people. Really, that's all the film is, like networking and knowing certain people. I know people that like would buy the script. So for me, it's a lot. It's a lot easier for me to say, "Oh yeah, just show it to someone that can buy the script."
So my cousin Nicolas Cage. This is where it all comes out.
But I mean, really, it's kind of like the unfair part of the film industry is that like you get a really big advantage by knowing people. Like like my mom went to school with someone who's married to a big Hollywood guy. So I'm kind of just like, I know you. And I had an internship in New York with Lorne Michaels' company. So I know some people there. It's just really getting your foot in the door and be willing to kind of, especially if you want to go for writing, you got to know the right people that like who would buy the script, and then try to like get an internship somewhere that then you can start meeting people and getting connections places. Because if you're staying in Buffalo and you want to be able to sell scripts, good luck. I would try to find an internship in LA or New York. That way you can meet people, and that way you can network out there, because those are that's where the people are that are going to buy the scripts. And then, get your foot out there. You don't have to stay out there. Just start meeting people out there, and then you can come back here. And then now you know them, and technology is crazy. You can Zoom with them at any day and talk to them whenever. And then just kind of keep a relationship with them, like always constantly keeping in touch with them, and then reminding them that you exist.
And what about you? Are you staying here, or are you going to New York, LA? Like, what's your
right now? I'm staying here. I did an internship in New York a way back. I got no plans to move yet. I'm kind of here. I love it here. It's cheap here. Cheaper than New York or LA.
I was gonna say it's cheaper. Like, to me, cheaper, everything here is still crazy expensive, but that's a separate story that's not for this podcast.
But I guess if I were to go anywhere, it would be New York. I definitely feel a much stronger connection to New York than I do LA.
That's fair. So like, what are your next like, other than selling the scripts, like, do you have plans to write more stuff, or are you like looking for acting work, or like, what's your kind of next creative?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always writing something. Me and Louis are always writing something. We're working on a short film right now. It's a kind of a parody of the DC Comics character Kite Man. He's like a villain in DC Comics that we just think is really funny and super obscure. So we wrote a short film called Kite Man Soarin' High, and it's like a Gotham City news report on Kite Man. And we're going to film it sometime in September. And then we're working on our own
TV. This is pilot. Your character, or this is an obscure character that I don't know about?
This is an actual character in DC Comics. This is not our own character. And then, so we're working on that. We have a script for that. We're planning on filming that soon. And then we're also working on TV pilot right now. We're trying to, because we've never done our own like TV pilot and TV television series, so we're working on that next. And I don't know if we're gonna make that, because it involves kids, it like stars kids,
right?
So that's a whole hassle, but that's an example of something that we would write and then we would pitch somewhere and then they would make it.
And so far as acting stuff,
I guess I'll take whatever comes up. I'm really not actively searching. I recently, there's a lot of commercials that come in that I'll get a call about, and I'm like, yeah, I'll take that. Not as I'm like the reluctant actor or whatever, but I really enjoy it. I really never got my foot in the door as far as acting goes, so I don't get a lot of calls about it. That's the other tough part. I'm not in any like crew. I'm not a PA. I'm not a camera team. I'm not a grip. I like acting, but I don't do it professionally enough where I get calls for anything. So a lot of my friends in school always got calls to work on all the movies that are coming in, and I never got that call. And I'm just sitting in my room like, well, I guess I'll make my own movie.
Well, I mean, I can relate to that, but also I know that people from your crew have done some of the bigger stuff. Like, I know some of them were working on that pilot, The Chain, and I know that a couple of them were working on the Fred Olen Ray thing. So, like,
they all get work.
Are you saying that like you're responsible for them getting work, or like what's the? yes, he is. They all owe you.
No, Alexis Abramo, for sure. No, she has been getting work the second she stepped into Buffalo State College. she is a hard worker and is always looking and always getting asked to do, to work on things because she's incredible. But then some other people, so she's like kind of the big connect that like a lot of our crew came in, met her, and now she's bringing them onto other jobs. I'm just kind of the guy that they have to step over to get to her. So I'm just, I just sit here and write my little films.
So what you're saying is I should reach out to her now and be
Yes.
You know what? I think I like friend requested her on Facebook and she's like, I don't know this guy. So like, I could be wrong. Like if we are friends, I'm sorry, Alexis, I just don't pay attention. I don't know what to say now. Like, I feel like I've covered everything. Like, what do you want to be doing in like your dream role? Like, where's this all heading to? Like being a writer, being a director?
Have you ever seen the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I've seen like one episode. It's not the best reference to use for me.
That's the dream for me. It's just a show that was created by three guys that are really good friends and they act in it and write every episode pretty much. And it's been going on for 16 seasons now.
Is that still going?
Still going. Yeah. Wow. That's the dream for me, to be able to kind of have a project that is very specific to like my taste and that could go on for however long it wants. And I get to be in it, be writing it with my friends. That's the dream. I mean, there's also like, you know, get the good movie role, you know, whenever they make a new superhero movie and they need me to get in shape, I'll do it, but I'm not going to get in shape until they need me. Yeah, not before. No. I need the press to be like, look at this transformation.
Yeah, it's like I'll spend 4 hours in the gym every day as long as like you're telling me what to eat and you're paying me to do it.
Yeah, as long as you're paying me to do it. I'm not gonna do that my own time.
Yeah, I need to write a superhero movie, but then I can't pay you. Like, I'm the same as you. Like, I make movies and then I'm just like, who can I get that'll do this for nothing? Like,
I mean, that's I remember when we were getting ready to film, we got a note or a comment because I asked someone, I was like, so what, like someone that made a film, and I was like, hey, so like what are some things to expect, you know, on set, first day going into it, like what are some things I should like be ready for? And he was like, well, be ready for about 10 to 20% of your crew and cast and just not show up. And I was like, oh shoot, okay. And that never happened to us. Everyone that worked on our film wanted to be there. And I think for anyone that's listening, that's like a first time filmmaker or wants to get into film and wants to be a director or writer, you got to write a script that really connects to people. And I know it's so much easier to say than to do, but I know as far as the process goes, me and Louis had a first draft. We sent that out for notes. People got back to us with notes. We listen to them. That's the biggest thing. We need to listen to people's notes. If people are not connecting with certain parts of the script, it's not going to work. So you have to change it. Even if you don't want to change it, even if you think you're like stubborn about it, there's a saying for it. It's called kill your babies or kill your darlings. It's like, even if you're so in love with this idea of something, but if it's not working for everybody, you got to get rid of it. And you really got to change your script so that people will love it. That way, when you get a cast and you get a crew together, people will want to work on it because they like the story so much. They like the script. They like the characters that they can't help but want to make a great film. Also, another super, super important thing, if you're a director, you got to make a comfortable and fun set environment. Everyone, you need to listen to everyone's ideas, even if they're not great ideas. You got to listen to them. You can say no. You're allowed to say no to ideas, but as long as you listen, it makes everyone feel like they're contributing something. And that's what this is, especially at this level of filmmaking. It's not just your movie, it's everyone's movie, because you can't do this alone. You need these other people. So why would you not listen to them? And also, it helps us a lot because we make comedies, like getting a fun environment, because we're all making each other laugh, and that's super fun for us. That's where we're trying to one up each other and like, all right, who can say a funnier joke, who can say this line better. And we had a lot of like inside jokes on set, and we would quote different lines on set, and it was a lot of fun. But there was never I mean, like, there were times where it felt like we were working, but every day had its super high highs and it had some lows, because you're working at the end of the day, you know, you're going to be stressed out a little bit, but you can never forget that you're making a comedy, and you can't forget that your goal is to have fun. And if you're having fun on set, that will 100% translate to the screen. And I think it does for our film. You can tell, even a scene that's like not a great scene, you could tell we're having fun, and that alone will like help elevate the scene and make it more fun to watch. So I know a lot of students that are directing for the first time, they feel very controlling on set. Like they have to, it has to be a certain way. It has to like be my vision, and they'll do 100 takes on something, and they'll kind of almost make it torture for the actors and for the crew, but that's not fun. And I know there's definitely the best, like the Stanley Kubrick thing of like, you gotta do 150 takes because it needs to be perfect. But in my head, I don't think it's worth it if your cast and crew are going to be miserable at for it. And I think it's important that everyone on set is having a good time and having fun and liking what they're doing, because the second that they lose interest in this, the second you lose the film, because it's not yours. It's everyone's. That's my word of advice.
I mean, that's a solid point, I think. I have a few questions around some of the stuff you've been saying. So, like, what is the final running time of your movie now it's all edited?
Yes, it is a little over an hour and 23 minutes. It's almost an hour 24. It's pretty short, pretty short.
I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of 80 to 90 minutes, I think, is kind of the standard for, like, a low-budget, like, feature film.
Easy to watch, you know?
Exactly. I mean, like, you know, my first film is 71 minutes, and it's like, it counts as a feature, just
counts. Yeah.
And like, how many days is that? Like, how many days work went into making the movie?
Filming, just filming, or like,
yeah, no, just oh, no, like, we can't okay. count like writing and editing, we'd be here forever.
Yeah. 16 days of filming,
and spread out over how long, or was that like consecutive?
It was not consecutive. It was spread out over the course of end of June to end of August, so 2 months.
Okay. And
We would film every weekend because we're not paying people, so we had to ask them, can we borrow your entire summer weekends?
Yeah. And people are like, no, I want to go away.
And yes, actually, some people were like, no, I want to go to LA. We're like, no.
All right, I guess.
But we got everyone's weekends. It was great.
That's good. And how long were your shooting days? Like, how many hours would you have people?
Do you even know? Typically, it was like the standard 12 hours. Usually, every film set does. That I think some days it was like 8 hours, or some days it was 6 hours, because we didn't have much to film that day on the schedule. Yeah, it was typically anywhere between usually around 8 to 12 hours a day. We never did any crazy like 16-hour days. That's too much.
And I know as well, I mean, at least from my perspective and like things I've done, I'm sure like other people would disagree, but like it seemed to me like you had a pretty big crew for the size of the project. So like, what positions did you have crew-wise?
I was on set. I was the director and the star. Louis was on set a lot. He was kind of like our on-set producer and writer, just to kind of like help bounce ideas off of. We had our actors, we had our director photography, our gaffer, our AC, script supervisor, first assistant director, sound. There was this mixer, and then there's the boom op. Then sometimes we had a production assistant. That only for like the bigger days usually. I think that's it. Usually, as far as every day goes, we had some behind the scenes people like Camden, who you know, he was kind of always behind the scenes. He was always sending out call sheets and, you know, making sure we were ready for the next day. But he was on set twice, I believe. Once the one day you were there, and then another day when our first AD had to leave early, he stepped in as first AD for a little bit. But there were some, like those were like the average day. We didn't have too many people on, but then for the big days, like the festival scene that takes place at the end of the movie, which is the first thing we shot, we had like all of our crew. We had around like 16 to 20 crew total. So they were mostly all there, as well as like the entire cast, because that's like the big end of the film. All the cast is there. But yeah, you caught us on a good day. You caught us on the last day of filming. So that was a lot of people just wanted to be there for the last day of filming.
I'm sure they were all good days, Colin.
That they were.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I really just like being on films. Like, I feel almost like a different person. It's just, it doesn't even matter if I'm just like an extra or whatever. I just love being around it.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. And growing up watching movies, wondering how movies are made, it's fun to kind of see the movie magic right in front of you.
Tell us where to buy tickets.
Well, it's at northparktheater.org. It's a little complicated how to get there now. There's like a, you have to go to, it's our film isn't on like the Showtime schedule yet. I think it'll be on there next month or whenever this is out. I don't know. But if you want to find a direct link to it, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Chicken Strips Film. We post at least every week, sometimes more. And then you can kind of keep up with us there, like have fun with us, you know, goof around with us. And yeah, we're posting, we have a trailer you can watch on YouTube. We're posting some of the stills from the film right now, as well as we're going to post some like clips, like 30-second clips from the film pretty soon. But yeah, that's we're going to post all our updates on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and that's where you can get tickets and watch all of our updates.
I do have one practical question. Where are you supposed to park? Because Hurdle gets like so busy, you know, this thing sold out.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of the off streets you can usually park on, like something like this. Every time I go to North Park, it's a pain in the butt to park. I usually just go on the next street over and just drive down until I find a spot and walk 10 minutes. That's what it is. That's the fun of it.
Yeah.
Or you can, I'm sure you can park at like the Walgreens that's down the street. It's only like a 3-minute walk.
I do have another like actually creative question for you. So like, I've seen a couple of these. You have like these little posters for the characters that are kind of Scott Pilgrim style. Are you making all those, or
what was that? I'm sorry.
Are you making all those, or is that someone else? Or like, has
no? I didn't make those. The incredible Elle Regan made those for us. She was our behind the scenes and camera team person. And we did a photo shoot before we filmed, and all those pictures of like the character posters were from that photo shoot before we filmed. And she put them in Photoshop, we got some really cool character posters.
So is she leading a second crew that I don't know about? Because you say like she's a behind the scenes person. Is that in addition to your regular crew, or was she part of your standard crew?
On top of the same crew already. So we had like a behind the scenes person as like on set. She would like take pictures and videos of us filming and stuff. And
so that then, was her role in your movie, was all behind the scenes stuff.
Yes. And then she would help out with the camera team whenever they needed it.
Yeah. Cause she's one of the people who I've seen on a bunch of other stuff. So I'm thinking like, she's
again, she was working with Lex. So she got those roles. She got those jobs.
So like next time, are you going to go to Lex and be like, can I get a role somewhere?
Hey,
do you want to do any of that stuff? Because you said about like writing and directing and acting, like, do you have like technical skills? Like, would you want to do camera or sound or whatever for someone else's production, or is that not your thing?
Not really my thing. And that's kind of my shortcoming as far as like not getting any work, is directors don't want to hire other directors. So they're looking for like the crew, and I'm not really interested in that. I've done PA work, and it's fine. It's definitely for specific people. Like, you really gotta love doing it to do it. But yeah, I think, yeah, I'm really, really loving the writing and directing side of it, as well as editing side. I do love editing a lot. But yeah, I can't see myself on set doing like camera stuff or sound stuff. And those guys are incredible, and I just can't do what they do.
Would you edit someone else's project, or is it just your own stuff?
Mm, I've only ever edited my own stuff. I'm definitely not opposed to editing other people's things. It's one of those, it's another thing of no one's ever asked me to. So
I'm asking because I'm making a movie and I'm like, editing takes forever.
It does.
This isn't just like general interest. This is, I don't want to edit my movie.
After doing this, I get why, because I always used to think like, oh, because of all the stuff I've edited before, I've kind of just been like, oh, I can crank this out and like give me a month and I'll do it. Because there's a lot more that goes into it, and you're also like, I was in classes while I was editing this, and then I had to color it, which I've never done that before, so that was a whole learning curve. And then and then you have to get it sound mixed and like dialogue edited and all that. And I've never done that. So I outsourced that to Susanna, who was on the set doing some sound some days. And then she was doing the whole completely post-production sound, as well as Cole Sackle. Again, he did a lot of the sound design in post. And I've never done sound, so I let them do it. So I was like, they can do that. And they did that. And an incredible job. And That's another learning thing too. Up until now, every time I edited anything I've done, it was always just me in post. But now I had our own little post crew. We had someone like compose a score. We had someone do sound mixing, sound design, ADR work. I would cut it together. But that was really fun to have that as well.
And are you doing like, for like day job work, are you doing like creative things, or do you just have like a normal job and then this is your like, I sneak out at night and I make movies?
I'm a normal job guy. I work at a movie theater.
Well, that's, and, you know, I mean, that's something at least. Like sure, you're not gonna like get hired by Spielberg off the back of it, but at least you're, you're talking about movies and stuff. And like,
yeah, I get free tickets for movies, so I try to see everything that comes out, and it helps. I definitely think if you want to make movies, you should watch movies, because then you can learn from that and all that mumbo jumbo. But yeah, I just work a regular job part time, so it doesn't eat up all my time. And then I come here and I work on Chicken Strips or any other film that we're doing.
So are you working at one of the movie theater chains?
Yeah.
Because my question now is like, couldn't you like haggle your way into screening your movie there if you work there?
Well, I've tried.
Oh, tell me about this. I like the juicy stories, you know?
The problem, I'm not allowed to say where I work. Technically, it's a whole weird thing. But the theater I work for,
the movie theater chain, which is one of the many cinema operators in the United States.
Yes. It's you got to run it through. There's like a bunch of people you got to go through, and you got to go through so many hoops and so many ladders. And even just to do, we did our cast and crew screening at my theater, and even doing that was absurd. And that was a private screening, and that was like that was like super difficult just to get that. And so it was just a lot easier to go to just the two guys at North Park, that they just own the theater. It's a private theater. And then we just talk to them and they just let us do it. And I think that's super, like, so much cooler to have it at a Buffalo theater. Like, this is like a staple in Buffalo. It's like the North Park theater that's been around for over 100 years, only in Buffalo. Like, I think that's so much more like fascinating and interesting to have it at this theater rather than just some chain that is also playing other movies. So it's it feels really cool to have like a theater that's designated for just our film, at least for that week.
Because they do have one screen and they show one movie. That's their thing, right? They just change the movie every week.
Yeah. And they might have like a matinee in an evening, but yeah.
Right, and if it's good enough for Guillermo del Toro, it's probably good enough for people like us. Like, because he did his movie premiere there, right? Like
Yeah. A lot of films that were filmed here usually have a screening at North Park. So yeah, and I'm honored to be on that list now.
I'll try and join you at some point. Although now it's kind of like the ones that you can haggle with, the local ones, because that's not the only one. Like, it seems to be that that's the one that people gravitate toward. I've got plans. I've got things. I don't like to say too much on my own podcast about me, because I feel like the whole point of this is to talk to other people. But
oh, it's a conversation. I gotta know what's up with you too.
Yeah, well, I'll stop the recording for all that stuff. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
So I apologize to both of my listeners that, you know, if you want to know these things, just contact me. Chances are you're people I know. I don't actually know. I don't check the numbers. Again, sorry.
Sorry, guys.
But I mean, in fairness, I also don't do any of that like advertising or Patreon stuff, so I'm not making any money off this. I just do this because I love finding out about what people do in movies. This is all just like me making connections and learning about films and getting my foot in the door, getting hired, you know, hiring people.
Yeah. That's how you do it. I mean, you really just got to stick your neck out.
Yeah.
And you really got to, if people aren't noticing you, you got to make sure they notice you. I mean, that's kind of what I realized with this too, is like, no one's ever just going to kind of give me my dream film. Like, I have to make that.
Yeah.
And that's true. What this is. This was seeing a lack of comedies in the film market, like just straight up comedies. And I wanted to write something that I wanted to see on screen, and that's what I just did. I have the resources to do it now, and anyone does, realistically. Anyone can pick up, even if it's your phone. Like, you can do it. It's crazy now. I mean, like 20 years ago, you had to raise like $1 million to do it, but now you just get some friends together and get a phone even, and then you can do it. It won't look that great, but you can do it.
And why do you want to do it? Like, what is it about making movies that you just need? Like, what's the urge?
It's a really good question. I don't have a great answer, or at least a fully fleshed out answer. It really is just, I really just love doing it. I love telling stories. I've always loved telling stories. And like, when I was a young kid, I used to like play with action figures, and in a sense, I'm kind of making my own movies there. I'm creating my own stories with these characters that I have here in my hands as a little kid. And I just get to do it now with real people. And I just take these real people. I go, all right, you stand over here and you stand over here. I don't know. It kind of goes back to making films that I want to see, stuff that make it really excites me to see on film, and like, and just being able to tell like my version of these stories is really, really fun. But yeah, I don't have a crazy, crazy answer about it. It's just, I like doing it.
No, I mean, it's a good answer. And, like, so are you like looking to move out to New York when the offers are there?
I don't know. That's another thing. I feel like if I can stay in Buffalo, I would. I think of like, if I ever get a job where I need to write a script, I can do that from home.
Yeah.
And I would just go out to wherever every once in a while. But I mean, I'm not opposed to moving to New York for a job or anything like that. But I think if I were given the choice to move to New York or stay here for a job, I'd rather stay here for a job than go to New York for the same job.
And you were talking about the importance of having connections and knowing people. Do you have like any ins for when this FilmWorks thing opens, like all the studios that they're supposed to be starting up soon?
Maybe.
Ooh.
I really gotta see. I don't know that I am aware of anyone that's like part of that or anyone that's working on. I don't think I know anyone from FilmWorks. I know someone that worked for FilmWorks a while ago, so I might just reach out to them and see if they know someone. That's the thing, if you don't know someone, you probably know someone who knows someone. So reach out to the person that you know to see if you can get the connects of the person that they know.
As soon as you get hired, get back to me because it's all me. I suggested this.
Oh, okay.
I could be like the guy who takes out the trash.
Guys, we need Richard Fish. He got me. He told me to do this, so we need him to pick up the trash.
Yep, that's my in. So okay, so I guess we should wrap things up. So it's September 2nd.
September 2nd. Yes, it runs from September 2nd to September 8th. It is a Friday to a Thursday. Two showings every night, except for the 2nd. It is one showing that night. That is the red carpet premiere.
And every other night besides that.
There's a 7:30, but get there early because, you know, it's a red carpet. People are going to be like walking slow, you know, looking good. And you want to be a part of that. It'd be really fun.
Do you know if there's still tickets for that? Do you have the numbers or is that all with the?
There are still tickets available. So you got to get them before they're sold out. But yeah, there are definitely tickets available.
I'll get it filled up for you. I'll like pull some strings, you know, because I'm like totally from here. So I know everyone.
Heck yeah.
it's pretty much just me. No, like all right. Cool. Well, it's been really good talking to you. And I'll get back to you in the editing thing.
Yeah, yep, there it is.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, guys. Thank you for having me on. This is awesome.